For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Wise Became Fools, as we pick up in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
When they knew God, they would not glorify Him as God. Neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now you see, what Paul is telling them is that God has revealed Himself through nature. Man can know God through nature. Nature is a revelation of God. It's speaking to man of the existence of God. It's declaring the glory of God, His power, His wonders. But if a man doesn't want to hold the truth of God, he doesn't want to glorify God as God. He wants to elevate himself to the God level. I am God, for I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. I am God. I am self-governed man. Then as he looks at nature, he looks at nature from a presuppositional position that God does not exist. And he then attempts to explain the myriad phenomena of nature apart from God by natural phenomena, by natural happenings or circumstances. And one of their favorite phrases is the fortuitous occurrences of accidental circumstances. And that can explain just about anything. All of these random chance factors just so happened that there were all of these fortuitous occurrences of these accidental circumstances that finally, that you are the end product of accident. Billions of them through billions of years. Here you suddenly are as the result of this spontaneous generation. There was an interesting symposium in Europe back in 1975, I believe it was. Carl Sagan wrote a book summarizing the convention. It was the leading scientists of the world who were gathered together for a symposium to determine whether or not extraterrestrial beings were trying to make contact with the planet Earth. And so the book published by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology on extraterrestrial communications, edited by Carl Sagan, was a report of this symposium and this gathering of the world's renowned scientists to offer their various papers on the subject of extraterrestrial beings seeking to communicate to those on the planet Earth. I was very fascinated with one of the very first papers presented to this symposium by a group of scientists who felt that it would be important in determining whether or not there were beings out there trying to communicate with us here on the Earth to determine what are the chance factors that life forms could exist on some other planet within the universe. Taking into consideration all of the multiplied obstacles, really, of life existing, they began to feed into the computer the factors necessary for the development of the first cell. All of the variables to create the first cell. And the computer, working out these various factors, came out with the answer that there was only one chance in 10 to the 27th power of the first cell ever being created. Now, supposing the Earth is 6 billion years old, that's only about 10 to the 17th power seconds. And so if you had these factors, say a billion of them each second, going on for 6 billion years, you would only be developing your first cell. But then you have to develop two cells at the same place. And the first paper concluded that there were no extraterrestrial beings trying to communicate with the planet Earth because it's impossible that there could be any life forms anywhere else in the universe because of the complexities of the development of the cell. Life is impossible any place in the universe. So, no sense to have the symposium of whether or not there are extraterrestrial beings trying to communicate with us, because it's impossible that they could exist. The chance factors are just rule it out. I thought that that was a very interesting paper. I enjoyed reading it. But I wondered, why didn't they carry that one step further and realize that it's impossible, if it's impossible that life forms could exist anywhere in the universe apart from here, how in the world they think they exist here? If it's impossible that life forms could form on a planet, another galaxy, then it should also be impossible for life forms to appear here, which indeed it is. Impossible by accident. We were created. But man who comes to nature with a presuppositional base that God does not exist then tries to explain the phenomena of life apart from God, and you get into all kinds of foolish speculations. You ever wondered how it is that you were able to walk? Well, once upon a time, billions of years ago, back when the earth was covered with primordial ooze, and this cell had developed to the place of a worm-like creature, as it made its way out of the ooze and out of the waters and onto the land, this fish-like creature coming onto land, flipping itself around on this foreign environment, scratched itself on the coral reef or upon the rock. And that scratch developed into a wart like appendage, which continued to develop and grow until it became a leg with feet and five toes. And after billions of years, when the second leg also developed, you were able to walk instead of hop. Is one of the explanations that has been offered for the development of the legs. I sort of agree with Paul. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, and professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You see, to rule God out is the stance of the fool. For the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And to try to understand the universe apart from God is impossible without getting into all kinds of fanciful, unbelievable, preposterous speculation, which is nothing more than sheer foolishness, but is being passed off as scientific poppycock. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools because they changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image like unto corruptible man. They made God like man. They thought of God in the terms of man. Sought to bring God down to man's level. The glory of an uncorruptible God now made to look like man by the little idol or images that they have carved or drawn. Like birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. And as you look at the objects of worship of the ancient men, ancient peoples, you see these grotesque-looking creatures that were representation of the deities of the various peoples. And you realize what Paul is talking about. Man seeking to corrupt God. Now, because of this, God also gave them up. And we have the thrice God giving them up. God gave them up to uncleanness or filthiness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For they changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. So God gave them up to these filthy lusts in their own hearts. I can remember that when I was a boy in junior high school, the fellows would smuggle around these Sunshine and Health magazines. And that was about as pornographic as you could get. Magazines that dealt with nudism in the U.S. And these were the things, you know, that the guys would snicker over. And it was just, you know, it was, well, of course, you had to have your connections to even get a copy of those things. And I think in my lifetime how far we have sunk. Because you can go into practically any grocery store, any drug store, and you can pick up these magazines today with all kinds of implicit pictures that are designed to arouse and stimulate the flesh. And we realize that we are seeing the consequences of God giving men up to uncleanness through their lust. The moral downward spiral that we are observing in our society is concurrent with the teaching of evolution, the denial of the existence of God, trying to understand our universe apart from God. And the result of man wanting to rule God out of his mind and out of the thinking processes is that God gives man over to a mind in which he can go ahead and sink into the filthiness of his own heart, beginning to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, for they changed the truth of God into a lie. And they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forevermore. You see, by the evolutionary theory, the creature becomes God. It's the almighty cell and its tremendous propensities to make these phenomenal changes to develop all of the forms of life that we can see. The marvelous adaptabilities in nature. And it becomes God. They worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. They look at nature irrationally, deifying nature rather than worshiping the God who created nature. And whenever you stop at nature and you worship nature, you're stopping one step short. That's irrational to look at nature and say, that's God. It's looking at nature and saying, that is the creation of God, and letting nature speak to you of God. That's the rational way to observe nature. And so man became irrational in his observation of nature, and he worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up to unnatural affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, doing that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was necessary or which was right. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate minds to do those things which are unspeakable. not convenient, not proper. So man's degradation, the downward spiral, can we observe it? You betcha we can in the day in which we live. We see these very things of which Paul warned and spoke. As man has sought to eliminate God from his mind, from his life, from our schools, the awareness, the consciousness of God, we see the inevitable consequences in a society that is going deeper into the cesspool of immorality. We see the downward trend, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now they held the truth of God in unrighteousness, but now they don't even hold the truth of God anymore. God's given them over to reprobate minds, and thus they are filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Sounds like the morning newspaper. We're surrounded. We see the inevitable consequences of man trying to rule God out of his life. And we see it in our society in which we live. These very things prevalent in our society. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, do you watch soap operas? Do you enjoy watching soap operas? Do you enjoy watching a murder mystery? Do you enjoy watching movies that have these X-rated features to them? If you enjoy watching these things, then are you not taking pleasure in those who do them? You see, you may square off very self-righteously and say, well, I never commit fornication, and I have never, you know, murdered anybody, or I've never done this or that or the other. But Paul says, not only do they do them, but they take pleasure in those that do them. That is, a person actually enjoys reading about it, or a person enjoys watching it portrayed. Things that I wouldn't think about doing myself, but there's some kind of an excitement watching someone else do it. That's taking pleasure in those that do. Be careful. God help us. We are being bombarded on every side by Satan's wiles, seeking to snare us, draw us in, because it's fascinating, it's interesting. Oh, it's just life, and I just am interested in life, you know. Rationalize how you please. Be careful if you take pleasure in people who do these things, watching them do these things. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. You see, I read this list and I say, oh, yes, that's horrible. My, I just don't know what we're going to do. You know, the world is going so terrible bad, you know. Terrible that people would do those kind of things. Terrible that people would live like that. Well, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judges. For wherein you judge another, you're condemning yourself. For you that judge are doing the same things. We got to be careful of this judgment bit. Because if I have the capacity to judge someone else and say, that's wrong, he should not be doing that, then I'm condemning myself because I know it's wrong. And if I do it, it's doubly wrong because I know it's wrong because I said it was wrong for him to do it. You know, it's amazing how horrible our sins look when someone else is doing them, you know. Let someone else commit my sins. And man, I can get just all kinds of righteous indignation. I can tell you why I did it. I can justify it. But it's horrible when someone else does it. Terrible. Be careful, old man, whoever you are who is guilty of judging. You're only condemning yourself because you're testifying to the fact that you know better when you've done those same things yourself. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. God will have true judgment. And you think, O man, that judges those that do such things, and that you're doing the same, that you're going to escape the judgment of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul tells us that we're all to appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in our bodies, whether they be good or evil. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we seek to persuade men. Do you think that you're going to escape the judgment of God? Do you think that you've got some kind of an immunity or a divine dispensation, purchased your indulgence, that you can get by with it?
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Romans on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, where you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Romans 1 through 2. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you and keep you in His love and grace. May the Lord watch over you, and may you be filled with His Spirit and walk in the strength and in the power of the Spirit of God as He anoints you day by day. May you be enabled by Him. And may you enter into that fullness that He has for you, walking with the Lord, loving the Lord, listening to the Lord. Alert unto the Lord in these last days when the world around you is walking in its drunken stupor. May your mind and heart be clear, sensitive to God and to the things of the Spirit. In Jesus' name.
The Word for Today presents Biblical Counseling, a powerful resource that covers over 200 real-life topics. Whether you're a believer or not, we all face tough situations in life. In Biblical Counseling, Pastor Chuck Smith addresses these challenges with clear, compassionate insight. Each topic is listed alphabetically and includes Pastor Chuck's commentary along with practical illustrations to help you understand what God says about your situation. When you're feeling confused or discouraged, and man's advice isn't enough, turn to God's Word, because He's already given you the counsel you need. Order Biblical Counseling today at TWFT.com or call 1-800-272-9673. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of town.
This program program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.